Oh, any of you fathers relate to that? Any of you daughters relate to that? Dan in real life. I haven't seen the movie, but I thought the clip looked pretty interesting there. Well, happy Father's Day to all of you, especially to those of you who are fathers. You want to get your outline out so that you can follow along with this morning's message. You know, being a father can be a thankless job. And my question for you on this Father's Day is this: does your dad suffer from being a thankless father? When was the last time that you thanked him for being your dad? Irma Bombeck writes, she's that funny Jewish lady, I think she died just a few years ago. She says, when my dad died, I was in my 9th year. I had to be raised by my mother, and it gave rise to the question, what do fathers do? As far as I could observe, they brought around the car when it rained so that everyone else could stay dry. They always took the family pictures, which is why they were never in them. They carved turkeys on Thanksgiving, kept the car gassed up, weren't afraid to go into the basement, mowed the lawn, and tightened the clothesline to keep it from sagging. It wasn't until my husband and I had children that I was able to observe firsthand what a father could contribute to a child's life. What did he do to deserve his children's respect? He rarely fed them, did anything about their sagging diapers, wiped their noses or fannies, played ball, or bonded with them under the hoods of their cars. What did he do? He threw them higher than his head until they were weak from laughter. He casted the deciding vote on the puppy debate. I did that once. He listened more than he talked. I don't know if I do that too much. He let them make mistakes. He allowed them to fall from their first two-wheeler without having a heart attack. He read a newspaper while they were trying to parallel park a car for the first time in preparation for their driving test. If I had to tell someone's son what a father really does that's important, it would be that he shows up for the job in good times and in bad times. He's a man who is constantly observed by his children. They learn from him how to handle adversity, anger, disappointment, and success. He won't laugh at their dreams, no matter how impossible they might seem. He will dig out at 1 a.m. when one of his children runs out of gas. He will make unpopular decisions and stand by them. I've got that one. When he's wrong and make mistakes, he will admit it. He sets the tone for how family members treat one another. Members of the opposite sex and people who are different than they are. By example, he can instill a desire to give something back to the community when its needs are greater than theirs. But mostly, a good father involves himself in his kids' lives. The more responsibility he has for a child, the harder it is to walk out of his life. A father has the potential to be a powerful force in the life of a child. Grab it. Maybe you'll get a greeting card for your efforts. Maybe not. But it's steady work. I like that. Our main idea, very simple today, the one thing you need to remember if you forget everything else that I say. If you're taking notes, sure hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this: make your dad a well-thanked father. Only you can do that. Your mom can't do that. She can make him a well-thanked husband, but only his sons or daughters can make him a well-thanked father. His boss can't do that. His workplace can't do that. The government can't do that, even though these days it seems like it thinks it can do everything. But it can't do that. His friends can't do that. His hobbies can't do that. His PC, his widescreen TV can't do that. Only you can make him a well-thanked father. When was the last time you thanked your dad for being your father? You know, it's really easy to become a father. It's even fun. But being a father is much harder. Have you thanked your dad for staying with the job, often a thankless job? Tell him with your words. Show him with your attitude and your actions. Don't delay, do it today. And get in the habit of doing it regularly. He may never ask for it, but he will be glad to get it from you. You know, I wish my dad were still around so that I could thank him again. My dad died many years ago. And the older I get, the more I appreciate his influence in my life. And I look back now, I didn't realize it at the time, but I took it for granted too often. Even God the Father of all fathers, observes that being a father can be a thankless job. Look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. You can help me out when we get to the yellow print. It says, "The Lord of heaven's armies," that's God, "says to the priests, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt," God says, "for my name." These were the priests, the people that of all people should have been grateful to have God as the father of their nation, and yet they weren't. The same happens with us, folks. We take our dads for granted, and we take God the Father for granted too often. Thanking God for being your father is one of the most important matters of life. Why? Because not everybody enjoys that privilege of having God as father. It's a common misunderstanding that we're all God's children, and there's a sense in which that's true. We're all God's children by virtue of the fact that he's our creator. But Scripture teaches that only those who have come to a personal knowledge of God through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, have been regenerated and adopted to be his sons and daughters. Galatians chapter 2, verse 26 says, "You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." That's the way that you become a child of God, through trusting in Christ, God's Son, who purchased your redemption on the cross and rose from the dead. Do that, and you'll be adopted into God's family. And then you can, and you should, be a grateful son or daughter of God. There's a Spanish story of a father and son who had a falling out, and they became estranged. The son ran away, and the father decided he would set off to find his son. He searched for months all over the country of Spain, but he was unsuccessful in his search. Finally, in a desperate effort to locate his son, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. And this is what the ad said: "Dear Paco, Meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. Would you believe that on that Saturday, no less than 800 men with the name Paco showed up in front of that newspaper office looking for forgiveness, looking for love from their dads? You know, lots of people have issues with their dads. It's not uncommon for a person to come to me for counseling because there is an issue, or maybe many issues, with that person's father. Maybe you have an issue with your father. Maybe you haven't spoken to him in a long time, or it could be that he is gone. What do you do then? How do you thank your dad? Well, if you're a Christian, your whole life, your whole existence has to do with forgiveness. And as a Christian, that forgiveness can begin with you in that relationship. Why not begin with that today? Start the healing process. Forgive and reach out and thank him. You be the Paco reaching out to the Papa. You know, the same is true with God the Father and us. We have issues with our Father. All of us have rebelled against him and have run away. All of us have issues, and in this case, none of it is God the Father's fault. It's all our fault. We've run off, and he's gone off looking for us, searching for us. That's what separates Christianity from all the other religions of the world. Religion is man reaching out to God. Christianity is God reaching out to a fallen world, a lost world. We've run off, but he's come looking for you. He loves you so much that he sent his eternal Son to die on the cross for your rebellion and to rise from the dead. All of that was to bring you back to him. He doesn't say, meet me at a newspaper office. He says, meet me at the cross and the empty tomb of my eternal Son. You might say that this communion table is like that newspaper ad that father, estranged from his son, sent out. This communion table is broadcasting the fact to everyone that God wants reconciliation, and he has paid dearly for it. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper now together. And I'd like you to be mindful of what it is all about. When we take this bread, we are reminded of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for us. He paid the penalty in your place for your sins. When we take this cup, it's telling us that the blood of the Son of God was poured out for our sins. And that blood washes us from all sin. That table is like that newspaper ad. Will you respond to it today? You don't respond simply by eating and drinking. You respond by putting your faith in Christ and then living for God the Father throughout your life. If you're here today and you've never made that most important decision in all of life, that decision to repent of your sin and to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've never come to that crisis point where you realize that you can't save yourself, that you're headed for an eternal hell apart from God, separated from Him for all eternity. If you've never come to that realization, you need to, because you're a sinner. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and you need to be reconciled to God the Father. If you've never come to that point, I hope you will today and turn to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and receive Him as Lord and Savior of your life and begin following Him from this day forward. If you've never come to that point in your life, you can today, right here, simply by repenting of your sin and trusting in Christ. Right where you're seated, you can do that. You can say, I know I'm a sinner, Father, and I can't earn my way back to God. I can't earn my way to heaven through my good deeds, but I want to receive the Savior, Jesus. Please save me. I believe on Him who died for me and rose from the dead. If you'd like to do that, I invite you to do that today. And when you eat the bread and drink the cup, you can be declaring to those around you and to God and to yourself that you're making that decision. However, I don't want to force you to do anything. If you're not ready for that, then just let the elements pass you by. Don't make a statement about yourself that isn't true. You don't want to do that either. All right? So let's take a moment or two now. We're going to ask the elders to help us out with communion, and Marilyn's going to play some music for us. Let's have some time now to think about how we have offended the Lord and to confess our sins before Him. Scripture teaches us to do this. Father, I thank You for the privilege of being able to call You Father. I know that my sonship rests on what Jesus did for me on the cross. I didn't do it, He did it for me. And Father, through faith in Him, I've been redeemed, and I'm so grateful for that. And Lord, if there's a person here who's never come to that point in his or her life, I pray that person would do so today and become a child of God. Lord, we, all of us, as even as children, we still disobey. We confess to You our sins, how we have failed You, what we have done, what we have neglected to do. Forgive us, Lord, based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Thank You for this bread and for this cup. May we be reminded of the great sacrifice that purchased our salvation. Help us today, Lord, to be grateful for our dads. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.